How will the scandal at the failed solar power company Solyndra affect the rest of the industry?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Executives from Solyndra are planning to plead the fifth when they testify before a House committee today. Lawmakers are looking at how the company got its $500 million government loan and whether the approval process was sped up because of connections to the Obama administration. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports on the ripple effects of all this for green energy.
Solar energy has been growing, even during the downturn. Peter Fox Penner is an energy industry consultant at the Brattle Group. He says, ironically, it's that growth that helped do Solyndra in.
The failure of Solyndra, regrettable as it was, is a clear indication of the tremendous success the solar industry has had in achieving economies of scale and lowering the price of its product.
Among other things, the solar industry in the U.S. has been facing more competition from China. Even so, Fox Penner says the future of solar power is too bright for a little scandal to darken it. But what's almost certain is that green energy companies will have a harder time getting government loan guarantees, and that could scare off some investment in the sector. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Well, a lot has happened this week at the UN General Assembly in New York, but here's one warning that hasn't gotten much attention. Non-communicable diseases like stroke, cancer, and diabetes could cripple economies in the emerging world. That's what concerns Dr. Thomas Frieden, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you're the head of the CDC. We've got plenty of health challenges here in the U.S. Why is it so important to you and to the United States to focus on problems overseas?
Well, we're obviously concerned when it comes to infectious diseases, but we also have connections in the non-communicable diseases, both in terms of food and medicine safety, but also in learning lessons from each other and confronting what's now the leading causes of death, not just in rich countries, but in poor countries also, heart disease, stroke, cancer, and diabetes.
Well, why are we in the U.S. concerned about these non-communicable diseases overseas?
Actually, what we're seeing is that in the past decade, as you know, U.S. exports to developing countries have grown many times faster than exports to major economies. So if we can help countries remain healthy and vibrant, it's good for them and it's good for us.
So you're saying we'd actually see an economic benefit from healthier emerging economies around the world?
We can not only increase their ability to consume our goods, but also reduce the likelihood of instability and economic problems in other countries.
Well, how much does it cost a country, an emerging country, to deal with these problems like diabetes or obesity or heart disease?
It's always going to be a whole lot cheaper to prevent health problems than to treat them. Even in the U.S., the care of someone with diabetes costs $6,600 more every year than the care of someone without diabetes. And for developing countries that have very limited resources, it's going to be very difficult to manage problems if they don't reduce the number of people with these conditions.
Thomas Frieden is head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in Asia this morning, but up just slightly across Europe right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow plunged 391 points over new fears about a global recession to close at 10,733.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
This Sunday, Barcelona, Spain hosts its last bullfight ever. Bullfighting has been banned in the Spanish region of Catalonia, which includes Barcelona. Bullfighting supporters say the ban will hurt Spain, which has already got a 21% unemployment rate. Christopher Worth reports.
On a Sunday afternoon, Barcelona's Plaza de Toros Monumental is only about a third full. The crowd watches as a matador faces off against an exhausted bull. But when the bullfighter tries to plunge his sword into the bull, he fails, leaving it alive but badly wounded. The crowd jeers. Outside the arena, protester Luis Villacorta says this is why Catalonia's upcoming ban on bullfighting is a good thing. He's a protester who's covered in red paint.
I'm painted red as a symbol of blood, pain, and torture. It's a metaphor for what's going on in there.
But supporters of bullfighting hope to overturn the ban. They argue it will cost thousands of jobs in an industry worth about $3.5 billion to the Spanish economy.
It's like in any other business. When you close the business, some people get hurt.
That's Luis Alcantara. He's the president of this small bullfighting school just outside Barcelona. One of his students, Alejandro de Benito, is practicing with a pair of bullhorns on a bicycle wheel.
I'm very disappointed. As a professional, I won't be able to work in my homeland, and the workers at the bullfighting ring will lose their jobs. There's never a good time for that, but this is a particularly bad time to lose more jobs in Spain.
But Elena Alue of the animal rights group PACMA says very few people actually work in bullfighting in Catalonia.
There won't be thousands losing their jobs because bullfighting will continue in the rest of Spain.
Alue says attendance at bullfights has been dropping for decades, a sure sign, she says, that bullfighting was a dying industry well before the ban. In Barcelona, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, to Venice, Italy, where one set of parents has had enough. Their 41-year-old son refuses to leave home, and now the parents are seeking a court order to force him out. The father tells Italy magazine, he's got a good job but still lives at home. He demands that his clothes be washed and ironed and his meals prepared. He really has no intention of leaving. The family has enlisted the help of an Italian consumer association, which recently got another adult son to leave the nest. His parents promptly changed the locks. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.